This is the KNX Business Hour. Business Hour with Frank Motek on KNX 1070 News Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to KNX Business Hour, number one for your business and consumer news. Right after the closing bell on Wall Street, we'll stay on the train situation, of course, and have updates on that. We're seeing the Dow down 445 points at the closing bell today, back to 7552, a new low for the year, a new 5.5-year low. NASDAQ down 70 points to 1316, and the S&P 500 down another 54 points to 752. That is a more than 11-year low for the S&P 500. The yield on the 10-year note back down to 3.06%. Stocks tumbling to new lows for the year. This on the latest news on the economy. Also, the auto bailout plan is stalled in Congress. The price of oil has moved below $50 a barrel. Treasury Secretary Paulson speaking today in Southern California. The whole financial world focused on his comments, and Ron Kilgore will have a report on that coming up in just a moment. Right now, this is the KNX Business Hour. The Dow taking another tumble today, down 445 points at the closing bell. NASDAQ down 70, and the S&P 500 down another 54 points. Treasury Secretary Paulson speaking today in Southern California, defending his handling of the bank bailout package. Democratic leaders in Congress, meanwhile, putting off a vote on bailing out the auto industry until next month. Joining us live now from the Reagan Presidential Library, our KNX 1070 reporter, Ron Kilgore, who covered the Treasury Secretary's visit. Ron?
Frank, Secretary Paulson spoke to a packed-out audience here at the Reagan Presidential Library, mostly an historical perspective over the past year and a half, when they first noticed there was a problem with the housing industry, and then the loan industry went to belly up, and the credit crunch began. Then the Q&A time, this is a very, very bright audience. First question right out of the bat is, you know, Mr. Paulson, you spent billions of dollars already, hundreds of billions of dollars. Why hasn't the credit crunch eased up the average guy yet? Here's his response.
Now, let's remember that the actions were taken very recently. So $115 billion out to the nine banks, by late October. We now have roughly $148 billion. Much of it has just gone out, number one. Lending is very, very important. During times like this, what normally happens is when banks see the economy turning down, they naturally pull inward. They become more risk averse, and often regulators encourage this. Now, everyone understands we've taken extraordinary actions for the banks, and they need to play an extraordinary role, and lending is very important. And I take great comfort, and I think we should look at the fact that we've had our four regulators for the banks, the Fed, the OCC, the FDIC, and the OTS, put out a combined statement really encouraging the banks to engage, actively engage in prudent lending, along with a number of other things.
First, asked about the economy, when it's going to finally bottom out, it kind of got a laugh. And Secretary Paulson said, when banks are lending, when credit is flowing, when the credit markets away from the banks are working, the economy will get stronger, the housing market will stabilize. As for exact date or timetable, he has no idea. That drew another laugh. So people here, somewhat satisfied with what he had to say, encouraged by the fact he says things will get better, but knowing he also said it's going to get tougher before that happens. Frank?
Ron Kilgore reporting to us from the Reagan Presidential Library, where Treasury Secretary Paulson laid out the chronology, really, for the entire financial meltdown we've seen this past year.
KNX 1070 News Radio. Market closer.
The Dow coming down 445 points at the closing bell today. We're back to 7552, a new 5.5-year low for the Dow. NASDAQ down 70 points to 1316. And the S&P 500 has closed at an 11-year low today, down 54 points to 752. And the yield on the 10-year note is down to 3.05%. And we understand this is the lowest yield on the 10-year note in 50 years. Joining us live now with market analysis, John Najarian, founder of Option Monster and a CNBC contributor. John, give us your reaction to this latest big sell-off we've seen for the stock market.
Well, Frank, unfortunately, we were pretty much expecting something like this. If you get that close to testing a major support level, which had held twice before, you've probably heard other pundits say it, but you will rarely see a triple bottom when when we get down there that next time, which we just did today, you pretty much go through it like a hot knife through butter. That's exactly what we did. The market made a feeble attempt to rally as it got down to that level and then just was met with nothing but selling pressure. That upside then that we broke through becomes resistance. So in other words, what was support last night will be now resistance above the market. There were a few stocks that people were taking some shots on, including a nice earnings report tonight from Dell, but this stock is down to $10. I mean, it was just below 10 on the close. They had a good quarter, and the stock is trading up through 10. But there's a very much just a dearth of good news out there, Frank. I'm not going to kid you.
The headline on the front page of the Wall Street Journal can be repeated again tomorrow. Stocks, bonds tumble to new crisis lows, except today the market cracked below some important levels, including the S&P 500 hitting an 11-year low. Where do you think things go from here?
Well, I think ultimately the S&Ps probably test into the 720s. The cash closed at about 752. That doesn't have to occur immediately, and we will make several attempts, I'm sure, at that upside resistance just above us here. The real key, I think, is when we finally do see some money flowing, it could very well be that Citigroup becomes a catalyst for it. There's a lot of rumors flying around that they may announce a merger before the weekend with another major financial institution. I know that's not necessarily one of the big drivers on other people's radar, but on ours it might be. And I think that if Citi can finally stop being such a big drag by partnering up with, say, Goldman or some of the other names that have been thrown out, then I think you will see perhaps a positive reaction in the financial sector, a sector that has been really battered here, Frank.
Citigroup down $1.69 to $4.71. This even after the announcement, reports, I should say, that the Saudi prince is planning to boost his stake in Citigroup, and also company executives earlier this past week also had indicated they were buying up the stock. What's going on there?
Well, I think it's Prince Alweed being a shrewd investor and getting some nice terms for himself. He's made a nice trade in here before, as has Warren Buffett. He's not, of course, Warren Buffett is not an owner of this one right now, but he is in GE and he is in Goldman, and both of those he is suffering like the rest of us. There were some shots being taken to the upside, Frank, in Motorola. A lot of the stocks that basically, and even the double long financial, which is the UYG, we saw some pretty fast money flowing into both of those two. But it was pretty much overwhelmed by the big numbers of the S&P and the NASDAQ selling off as strongly as they did. I would look, though, for some of those very cheap stocks. The once they get into the single digits, which is, of course, where Citigroup is, then I think people stop focusing on them quite as much. And, in fact, they can't even raise cash by selling those anymore. So they go looking for, happier hunting grounds.
Yeah, a lot of them are getting below $10 a share, as a matter of fact. Obviously, we've seen nobody walks on water in this business. Even Warren Buffett, who bought at $23, the stock is down $1.61 today to $12.84.
Yeah, and his Goldman Sachs purchase. I mean, he bought in there at $120, $125 with a kicker at $115, and Goldman Sachs symbol GS is trading down to $52. So he's out more than half of his investment on that one as well. I think there are some ways to play it. I think that ultimately, Frank, if I could spin the clock ahead to December 31st, when we get to the start of the new year, I actually think that money that's on the sidelines now will be committed then. I just don't know, unless you really get more washouts, that there's a lot of people willing to take risk left in the market.
All right, with the S&P 500 down at about 50% now from the peak of last year, people feeling Warren Buffett's pain. What are you suggesting people do, given this tremendous sell-off we've seen and the biggest meltdown in our lifetime, really?
Well, I was lucky enough to have breakfast with Jim Cramer in New York yesterday, and we had a lot of frank discussion about the markets and so forth. We are both of the opinion that we are very close to some very, very, very oversold levels where you have a nice purchase for perhaps, the nicest buy that you could make in several decades, and it's coming. It's just not here quite yet, Frank. So if somebody's on the sidelines, I'd say stay there for a little bit. If it's somebody already in the market, I'd certainly encourage them to look at selling some of these pumped-up options. The VIX got over 80 again today, and that's basically foretelling 5% movements out of the markets on a daily basis.
John Najarian, founder of Option Monster and a CNBC contributor, thanks very much for joining us here on the KNX Business Hour. Traffic and weather. KNX Business Hour continues. This portion of the news sponsored by Mesa Garage Doors. The Dow tumbling 445 points at the closing bell, back to 7,552. NASDAQ down 70 points to 1,316. And the S&P 500 down to an 11-year low, down another 54 points to 752. And the yield on the 10-year note now 3.02%. We'll get further market analysis this hour and coverage on what's happening with this economy and the latest developments in Washington today. Democratic leaders in Congress putting off a vote on bailing out the auto industry until next month. They want the big three car makers to present a plan showing how the money would help transform their industry. Today, GM stock closed up 9 cents to $2.88. Ford shares gained 13 cents to $1.39. Joining us now, Southern California Democratic Congressman Brad Sherman. He questioned the heads of the big three automakers and raised the issue of the CEOs flying into Washington in private jets to ask for public bailout money this week. Congressman, give us your view of how things played out today regarding a possible auto industry bailout.
Well, I think we're far from a final deal, but we do want to come back in early December and try to save the automobile industry if their management lets us.
You were at that hearing yesterday. You were on the networks with your questions related to those jets the automaker CEOs used. What was the reaction there among the committee members who found out about the private jet travel?
Well, I think we were all amazed that they would come here seeking money from taxpayers, from households that they've lost touch with. And no wonder they're not running the auto companies all that well. They've got such a tin ear for understanding ordinary Americans. To see them hat in hand wanting $25 billion and flying here on private jets is just crazy. And then they tried to justify it on the basis that somehow that's a matter of safety and security. You know, they appeared before the House of Representatives. All of us, of course, fly regular commercial. They appeared the day before the Senate. All those senators fly commercial. And we do controversial things on television. Frankly, I know what all the senators look like, and so do most people listening to this show, or know what a lot of them look like. These heads of the big three automakers, they're anonymous. They don't do their work on television. And if they are worried about security, they should go to airports. That's the most secure place you can be. There's not a security reason or a safety reason for them to fly these private jets. In fact, commercial flying is safer than private Lear jets.
The head of the United Auto Workers Union this morning made a final pitch begging Congress not to adjourn before action is taken to save the auto companies. What's your prediction of what's going to happen now?
My prediction is that we're going to demand a plan from the auto companies. We're then going to fine-tune legislation, and then we're going to try to pass it the week of December 8th.
Congressman Brad Sherman, thanks very much for joining us here on the KNX Business Hour. Shortly, we'll be joined by Southern California Republican Congressman Ed Royce. Well, the bottom line, no deal, not yet anyway, for the nation's big three automakers. Michigan Senator Carl Levin and other lawmakers from auto states had a plan they hoped would pass.
I believe that there's a reasonable chance that if this were put to a vote today or tomorrow, that it could get the 60 votes necessary.
Instead of using money from the $700 billion financial industry aid package, Levin and the others proposed taking $25 billion from a fuel efficiency loan program, but House and Senate leaders have put it off. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid made the announcement.
We're prepared to come back into session the week of December 8th to help the auto industry, but only if they present a viable plan that gives us, the Congress, the confidence that taxpayers and the auto workers will be well served. In the meantime, it's important we remind everyone that right now or any time in the future, this administration, has the authority with the money they have from TARP or with the Federal Reserve to provide all the resources with any strings attached to it that they want to give these companies the help they need. The key is accountability and viability. That's what we're asking. That's not too much.
All this happening as the LA Auto Show gets set to open to the public on Friday. CBS Auto correspondent Jeff Gilbert is there. We'll be joined by Jeff in just a few moments. And also, the market coverage continues. If you've just joined us, the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 445 points at the closing bell to 7552. NASDAQ down 70 to 1316. And the S&P 500 tumbling 54 points to 752. This is the KNX Business Hour, KNX News. Another bad day for the stock market. The Dow taking a 445-point tumble to 7,552. NASDAQ down 70 points to 1,316. And the S&P 500 down 54 points to 752. That's the lowest the S&P 500 has been in 11 and a half years. The yield on the 10-year note is now 3%. The yield on the 10-year has hit the lowest point we've seen in 50 years. Well, the high-stakes game of deal or no deal continues to be played in Washington. GM stock up 9 cents to $2.88. Ford shares up 13 cents to $1.39. Those stocks moving higher in hopes that some kind of a rescue deal would be worked out in Washington. Democratic leaders in Congress have now put off a vote on bailing out the auto industry until next month.
Until they show us the plan, we cannot show them the money.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, she and Senate Majority Leader Henry Meade making the announcement today, saying they want the auto industry executives to return next month with a plan, and then there may or may not be more congressional hearings. Michigan Senator Carl Levin doesn't like that.
We believe that there's a reasonable chance that if this were put to a vote today or tomorrow, that it could get the 60 votes necessary. However, the decision has been made by the leaders to bring us back on December 8th after there's been some hearings.
Levin and other auto state lawmakers had been proposing that the industry be given $25 billion money borrowed from a fuel efficiency loan fund, but now that's all been put off for several weeks. All of this happening, the auto industry on pins and needles as the LA Auto Show is set to begin and open to the public on Friday. Jeff Gilbert from our sister station WWJ in Detroit is in LA at the auto show and covering the preliminary events leading up to the show's opening. Jeff, what's the reaction there to the battle that we saw play out?
Well, you know, Ford is the only automaker that's reacted so far, and they actually like this. They say they welcome the opportunity to provide their plan to Congress. Ford says it has a great plan that will continue the company's transformation. So, Frank, in the auto industry, they're seeing this as good news because they think they can ante up and they think they can show Congress that they are turning things around.
Any big announcements at the LA Auto Show today?
Yeah, biggest announcement today is a green car of the year, which is, drumroll please, the diesel version of the Volkswagen Jetta. Now, normally green and diesel don't go together. We all think of diesel as smoke belchers. But you know what? They have clean diesels right now that actually meet California's stringent fuel, pollution regulations, and diesels get great fuel economy, 40 miles per gallon for the diesel Jetta.
When I was in Europe recently, I was talking to some folks there, and I was surprised to hear that Priuses and the hybrids are not very popular over there because they primarily rely on clean diesel technology over there. Is that something we're going to see more of here, you think?
We might see more of it here. Now, in Europe, the governments actually try to push diesels because they're more fuel efficient, so diesel fuel is cheaper in Europe. Here in the U.S., as anybody who's driven by a gas pump knows, it's a lot more expensive. I talked to Volkswagen CEO about that. He says even today with the higher prices, you can make an economic case for the fuel economy because you do get some of the money back, but they would like to see diesel prices go down, and they're pushing that very hard.
Jeff Gilbert, thanks very much for joining us live from the L.A. Auto Show, which is having some preliminary events ahead of the opening to the public on Friday. Jeff Gilbert from our sister station WWJ in Detroit and the CBS Automotive Correspondent. Thanks very much, and we'll check back with you again soon. KNX News Time, 135, traffic and weather together on the fives. This report sponsored by Energy C and the energy drink. What's happening out there, Megan Reyes?
Well, we'll take you out to the west side where there was an earlier brush fire. CHP and fire crews quickly put this one out. It's on the 405 freeway northbound right around the Wilshire Boulevard exit. That fire's been extinguished. Fire crews have left, and I really don't see that much of a backup now, so things have improved along that 405 freeway. Let's go to the South Bay, though. Some slow traffic. We had some earlier problems. 405 northbound, one at Hawthorne Boulevard. There was another one just south of the Century Freeway. The accidents have been cleared. Traffic's still a tad slow along that area. Up on the 134, my lights are still showing some slow traffic. We might have a lane blocked, but I know there was a crash 134 westbound around the Glendale Freeway. The accident has been cleared from traffic lanes, but overall, my lights are indicating a backup through the Eagle Rock area west along the 134. Emergency booster health and energy with 1,000 milligrams of immune-boosting vitamin C plus energizing B vitamins. Emergency, feel the good. traffic and weather together on the fives. Our next report, it's going to be at 1:45 on KNX 1070 News Radio.
77 degrees now here at the CBS Broadcast Center on the Miracle Mile. The closing market report, market analysis, and more for you straight ahead right here on the KNX Business Hour. KNX News Time.
KNX 1070 News Radio. Market closer.
The Dow Jones Industrial Average taking another plunge today, coming in for a closing loss of 445 points, 7,552. NASDAQ down 70 points to 1,316. And the S&P 500 down 54 points to 752. Stocks moving lower on deepening economic fears, leaving the S&P 500 as low as we've seen since 1997. Completing the erasure of more than a decade of stock market gains there, the yield on the 10-year note has also moved lower to 3%. That's the lowest the 10-year note yield has been in 50 years. The price of oil has taken a tumble today, down $4 a barrel to $49.62. Gold of $12.70 to $748.70. Silver has moved higher to $9.02 an ounce. Platinum dipping to $790.10 an ounce. Citigroup shares taking a tumble, down $1.69 to $4.71 a share. Stock to move lower to the lowest level in more than 15 years, a sign that the Saudi prince's decision to boost his stake in the bank has failed to galvanize confidence among increasingly anxious investors. Goldman Sachs shares down $3 to $52, and Bank of America shares tumbling $1.81 to $11.25. We're getting this news in now that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the mortgage giants, are suspending all foreclosure sales of occupied homes during the holiday season. More specifically, they have released a date. All foreclosures will be suspended of occupied homes during the holiday season from November 26th to January 9th. We'll have further details on that breaking news as we get it here. Looks like insurance company stocks also took another hit today. AIG shares down 12 cents to $1.44. And Hartford Insurance Group down another, $1.31 to $5.57 a share. KNX News. KNX Business Hour continues. The Dow down 445 points. Auto stocks moving higher today with GM shares of 9 cents to $2.88. Ford up 13 cents to $1.39. Democratic leaders in Congress putting off a vote on bailing out the auto industry until next month. More drama in Washington today. And joining us now, Southern California Republican Congressman Ed Royce. We spoke to Democrat Brad Sherman just a little while ago. Give us your reaction to the way the auto industry bailout plans have played out today.
Well, one of my concerns originally was when we had this bailout, the thought that we'd have additional bailouts set as a precedent for the future, and we'd have a lot of potential of abuse, and that's why I voted against the original concept. And here we are today, of course, with a number of industries asking for additional bailouts. And the question is, clearly the economy couldn't sustain the cost. We could face a deficit of $1 trillion this year if we went forward with this additional bailout. And so my hope is that we can see some reforms in the industry and some restructuring there without the industry coming to the government to ask for this bailout.
What's your prediction on what's going to happen to the automakers in light of today's developments?
Well, I think they'll go back to the boards now, although clearly there is a discussion of coming back into session December 5th to bring this legislation up again. But as I say, my hope would be that they would go back and talk about restructuring with their employees, and especially look at some of the feather bedding or some of the requirements that pay people when they're not working, and see if we couldn't get the industry to restructure itself in a way that could make it more competitive. Frankly, that's something that needs to happen. And throwing in government money into the problem, I'm afraid, without restructuring, would just mean that, 8 months down the line, they might be back. And the precedent, of course, would then be set for every industry to come to Washington to ask for additional bailouts, which, again, is why I voted against the original bailout legislation.
Southern California Republican Congressman Ed Royce, thanks for joining us here on the KNX Business Hour, KNX News Time. This portion of the KNX Business Hour is sponsored by Citibank. The Dow down 445 points at the closing bell to a new 5.5-year low of 7552. NASDAQ down 70 to 1316. And the S&P 500 down 54 points to an 11-year low of 752. And the yield on the 10-year note back to 3%. With us live now, Ken Winans, money manager and president of Wine International. Ken, we understand, is in Las Vegas at a Traders Expo. Ken, give us your reaction to this big market move on the downside of the market meltdown we're witnessing again this week.
Well, I'll tell you, Frank, it's interesting, and also it's interesting to be back at a Traders Expo, and all I can tell you is the word is shock. A lot of these traders are very sophisticated people. They tried buying the bank stocks, and you could see the whites of their faces as they watched bank stocks implode. But, you know, there's another record out there that was passed today. This year, where we are right now, this now is the second worst one-year drop in the last 100 years. In fact, the only year left to take out is 1931, which is a 55% drop within the year on the Dow Industrial Average. So, unfortunately, the selling pressure continues on. And, you know, the sad part of it is that there is some strength in the market. There are some stocks that are actually weathering the storm okay, but right now everything is on the block for tax loss selling. If you ask me to guess what's really driving this thing, it's any reason to sell things, and the accountants are telling their clients, sell your stocks and book the losses.
Where do things go from here? Speaking of history now, the S&P 500 has dropped about, 50% now since the high in October of last year, and is at an 11-year low. Let's just take a look at that for a moment. Where do you think the S&P 500 index is going?
Well, it's the same thing. You know, it's interesting. You know, you talk about a 50% drop. That's exactly almost identical to the number of the entire dot-com carnage back in 2000 to 2002. So we've been able to basically have the same damage in under a year that we had in that time frame. You know, everybody's been trying to call a bottom on this thing, and everybody was getting real comfortable with that 850 range on the S&P 500. Unfortunately, I think that the selling pressure could continue on for a while, but here's one other thing to keep in mind. Usually bear markets come to an end when there is some kind of what we call a capitulation, which means people take the attitude of, get me out, I don't care, sell everything, get me out of the market. This is beginning to feel like that. When I start seeing some of these traders who are usually good poker players and they don't get emotionally moved, beginning to emotionally get tied up in this thing, that usually is the sign that you're getting near the bottom. But with that being said, Frank, it wouldn't surprise me to see some more new lows set. But also on a happy note, there is another piece of history that's very important to remember. If you take all those other bad years and you look at what happens the following year, 77% of the time, the market is up 20% the following year.
So what's your advice for someone who's watching their portfolios melt down to hang in there? What's your advice?
Well, I have been recommending pretty much most of the year to be raising cash. I started in January. I myself, right now, I'm sitting between 50 and 60% cash in my portfolios. I do not think there's anything wrong with raising some cash, but with the understanding that if you sell now, you've got to be prepared to jump back in. There's a lot of people who capitulated in 2002, and they missed a huge, powerful rally to follow. So if you raise cash right now, you're only doing it for the short-term benefits, and I would recommend you need to watch January. January sets the term for the next year, so we need to somehow figure out a way to get through these next 6 weeks. Keep a close eye on earnings going into January, and if January's positive, you want to get back in the market at that point in time. Full bore.
Ken Winans, Money Manager, President of Winans International, thanks very much for joining us here. The Dow down 445 points at the closing bell, NASDAQ down 70 points, and the S&P 500 taking another 54-point tumble back to 752, an 11.5-year low for the S&P 500. KNX News Time.